Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Shipping cargo in style, today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. It is good to be here with you. My name is Garrett, but I am not all alone. I have my friend Peter here with me. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Garrett. Hi, everyone. Nice to be here.
All right. Today's article is called Riding the Trade Winds Again. We'll break down what that means in a little bit, but our article is all about kind of boats and sailing. Peter, I wonder if you have any memorable kind of boat rides in your life.
A couple, yes. I haven't ridden on boats very often. It's just not sort of part of my routine or, you know, the people I hang out with. But just last year, just around my birthday last spring, my church small group took us on a ride to a small island off of Chilong. And the waves were pretty choppy. It was about a half hour ride to the island. But the adventure of it was more the getting there, you know, in the boat. The waves were, and they told us about this beforehand. It didn't take us by surprise, but it was pretty memorable because there were times where I found myself looking up from the boat at a wave because the waves could be that high at times, maybe, you know, 12 feet high even.
Wow. That is very cool.
Yeah, quite exciting. I mean, I didn't, you know, I'm glad it was only about half an hour one way and then half an hour back because, you know, a couple hours like that and I might have been a little too much, but right. For this land lubber that I am.
After all, there is seasickness or the idea of that for a reason.
Yes,
being on
yes.
a boat for too long, for those of us who aren't used to it, is not always the most fun. I think back to a boat ride that I got to do as a part of my job here, actually. David, one of our coworkers, and I got to go like sailing on like a sailing boat. We had to, you know, pull the ropes,
oh, wow.
position the mast, and propel ourselves forward. I was terrible at it; almost fell in the water a couple times, but we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think if you're from California,
yeah.
I guess I tend to think people from California have more familiarity with boats, but. Not necessarily.
I've been kayaking a lot in California. Mm. I guess that's the extent of it for the most part. My university did have a sailing class, and I had a lot of friends that did that. So you'd have to drive quite a bit to get out to the harbor.
Mm.
But it seemed like a lot of fun. Well, today we are talking about riding on a boat, but not just for fun. We're talking about a new way certain people are trying to ship cargo, the things that we use in our lives. And let's break down our title, Riding the Trade Winds Again. What do we mean here, Peter?
Right. Well, the trade winds are special winds. I mean, they're like any other wind, but they're winds specifically around the Atlantic Ocean that blow from east to west and have been used for centuries by European traders and later American traders to sail on, to catch the trade winds that will move your ship from Europe or from Africa even to the North American continent. And so it's a nautical term. It's, you know, if you live in a big city somewhere and you probably don't hear much about the trade winds. But when you're sailing, particularly across the Atlantic, that's what they mean by the trade winds. And so the title, Riding the Trade Winds Again, implies that, you know, we've gone from not using the trade winds, from using ships powered by gasoline or electronics or a motor of some sort, to going back to the sails, and that's what we have here today, a sailboat that will use the trade winds.
Right, so these cargo ships we're talking about do kind of ride along that path, those trade winds, and we're going to talk about what is new about this project in our article today. It's time for us to get started. Let's start with our first reading.
Riding the Trade Winds Again. This cargo ship cuts emissions and delivers the goods faster. It looks more like a racing yacht than a cargo ship, but this new 100% wind-powered vessel will be bringing goods from Europe to the US and could make deliveries faster than conventional cargo ships. Vela, a French startup, pulled technology from the racing world to make the vessel run as fast as possible. It's a trimaran, meaning it has three hulls, which helps it cut through water efficiently. The wide, stable shape allows it to carry large sails. As in racing yachts, the mast is made from carbon fiber, and the sails are made of high-performance fabric designed for strength. The ship also uses navigation tech developed for racing to help route toward ideal wind conditions as it crosses the Atlantic. We're using the exact same tools to navigate our vessel, says Vela co-founder Mikael Fernandez-Ferry. All of this isn't just a fancy gimmick. It's really about bringing speed in operations because speed is of the utmost importance.
All right, let's ride those trade winds into our conversation today. We're talking about shipping because this is one of the big things in economics. We need to ship goods around the world, and doing it more cheaply and in a way that's better for the environment is pretty important. We start off saying it looks more like a racing yacht than a cargo ship. Peter, what is a yacht?
Right. A yacht, as I said, I don't have a great familiarity with boats, but a yacht is a luxury sailboat, or at least I think of it as a luxury sailboat.
I would
Maybe
think
most
so too.
People do. Yeah. I mean, technically, luxury is something that could apply to anything if it's used for luxury purposes. But a yacht is a boat, a sailboat, and a racing yacht in particular would be a very streamlined sailboat in some way so that it can cut through the water faster than some of those larger luxury yachts that you've maybe seen on television shows about lifestyles of the rich and famous and whatnot.
Right. And so we are talking about a cargo ship, but it looks more like a racing yacht. This new 100% wind-powered vessel will be bringing goods from Europe to the U.S. And we did use that word vessel there. That's kind of a word that we use usually for things like boats, right?
Right, yeah. Anything that carries something or delivers something. Technically, you could say that a bowl that you have soup in is a vessel for the soup. It's that basic idea. But yeah, more normally it's applied to, well, ships, whether warships or spaceships.
Maybe even planes, too.
Yeah, planes, yeah, any kind of vessel. Probably not cars or trains so much, even though it could be, because the vessel is something that carries something else.
Right. So this vessel could make deliveries faster than conventional cargo ships. This is all from a company we heard is called Vela. It's a French startup company. And yeah, they're kind of borrowing technology and ideas from that racing world, the world of racing these ships, in order to make a ship that runs as fast as possible. And we see a really interesting word in this next part. It is a trimaran. Now, you might be more familiar with the word that comes from. That would be the word catamaran.
Yes.
Now, here we add tri, which means three. And so I imagined that cata meant two.
Right.
And I looked this up, and it doesn't.
Yeah, that's what you'd think, isn't it? Kata means, I think it's a Greek prefix.
Well, the word catamaran is actually from Tamil. In India. So it has nothing to do with European languages at all.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a funny usage to now say trimaran as if kata meant two. And that's because a catamaran does have two. We see holes here, while this one has three.
Yeah, no, I thought catamaran, there may be, in it, besides the Indian language root for it, there may be a Greek word, I'm trying to think back from my seminary days, kata, meaning across from.
Okay.
Which, in this case, would apply to two hulls across from each other, which you wouldn't use to describe something that had three hulls, because that would be more confusing somehow. But anyway, like you say, it's the Indian origin of the word suggests a whole other etymology there.
Yeah. And so we are talking about holes here. That's kind of like the main body of a ship. Most ships you'd see would have just one hull, but this one has three, and that gives it a lot of stability. It's able to kind of carry all that weight without tipping over. And so that is part of the reason why they'd want to do that. This helps it cut through the water efficiently as well. And the wide, stable shape allows it to carry large sails. As in racing yachts, the mast is made from carbon fiber. Peter, what's a mast?
Right. The mast is just that tall pole in the middle of a sailing ship on which the sails or the flags of the ship are hung. If you've ever seen a sailing boat of any kind, small or big, the big pole in the middle of the ship, or some of the bigger ships will have three masts, but that's what it is. It's the big tall pole that the sails hang on.
Right. And so it is made from carbon fiber, which is a material that's famous for being very strong, but at the same time, very light. Mm. And that's what you want on a ship so that it's able to travel faster. You don't want too much weight weighing it down. After all, you're loading up a lot of heavy cargo on
it, right? Exactly, yes.
And then we see the sails are made of high-performance fabric that's designed for strength. The ship also uses navigation tech developed for racing to help route toward ideal wind conditions as it crosses the Atlantic. That's a really interesting use of the word route there.
Yeah, normally you hear route in the noun form. What route are you taking? Also often pronounced as route. You will hear both right. In English, route or routes. It's the same thing. But yeah, also route as in the verb form will mean in sports in which one team defeated another team by a very large margin. They didn't just win the game, they routed.
Right, that would be a different team. Spelling though, I believe.
I think that would be without the E on the end.
Yeah.
Although if it was just the past tense of the verb, the E would show up anyway for the ED ending.
That's true.
But yeah, the R-O-U-T-E in this case means to steer towards, to direct the path you're going to take, to route toward ideal wind conditions.
Right. And so they are using this really advanced navigation tech. They're doing things that all these other shipping companies are not. And we have a quote here from one of the co-founders who says, "We're using the exact same tools to navigate our vessel. All of this isn't just a fancy gimmick." I love that word.
Yeah. No, I like gimmick too. It just means a little trick or something unusual that you do to make people notice you or some way, or that advertisers use to sell a product. A gimmick might be, oh yes, use this new toothpaste and it's what? It's caffeine free.
Right.
that's it doesn't really mean anything, but it's a little gimmick to get the attention in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is something you do to get attention. Maybe, but often when we use this word, we're saying that there's not actual good substance there.
Right.
It's just showy.
Yeah. It's usually used in a kind of negative way. Oh, you know, the caffeine-free, that's just a gimmick, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it may be caffeine-free, and I suppose that's good if you're worried about getting caffeine in your toothpaste, but yeah, you would describe it sort of just dismissively. Ah, it's just a gimmick.
Does toothpaste normally have caffeine?
See, this is a whole other conversation.
Okay.
But that's I don't think so. I'm pretty sure most toothpaste does not have caffeine, but that's sort of the idea of a gimmick is almost it's something that is just like a small shiny object just to attract the attention. It may have no substance to it whatsoever.
All right. So the co-founder here is saying that all this new technology and things they're trying isn't just a fancy gimmick. It really is about bringing speed in operations because speed is of the utmost importance. I think a lot of consumers would agree with that when they're watching all that tracking information.
Yeah.
When you buy something online, you hope it gets there much faster. And so this is really interesting. We have more to see about what problems there are in shipping and what exactly they're trying to solve. Let's go to our next reading.
Solving transport problems. Vela is one of a small but growing number of startups working to make wind-powered cargo ships feasible. a wind-powered cargo ship from French company TOWT, Transoceanic Wind Transport, made its first cross-Atlantic delivery in 2024. And a hybrid wind-diesel ship made its first crossing in October 2025. Vela designed the ship to tackle one part of the global supply chain. Companies making high-end goods, such as luxury cosmetics or pharmaceuticals, that are trying to find a way to decarbonize transportation. For these companies, air freight can be one of the largest parts of their carbon footprint. Shifting to sea transportation, even a regular diesel-powered cargo ship would help. But that hasn't been an option because most cargo ships are unreliable. Typical cargo ships have long delays at ports. Traditional container shipping has been evolving for bigger and bigger ships, to the extent that these ships are so big that they can only go to a few main harbors, Fernandez Ferry says. This is the bottleneck now of the shipping industry.
All right, we're talking about some of the issues in the shipping industry and how Vela is trying to solve it. What did we see first in this section, Peter?
Right, well, we hear how Vela is trying to make, it's one of several companies, one of a growing number of startups, new companies, working to make wind-powered cargo ships feasible. Feasible simply meaning possible to do. And so there are other companies as well as Vela making these ships, one of which is the Transoceanic Wind Transport Company.
Right. I wonder if they ever call it TOWT. Because it's T-O-W-T. Yes, this is fascinating. I would never have thought of having wind-powered ships moving all that cargo. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem very feasible to me until we learn more about it here. And so this is very interesting. Like we said, that Transoceanic Wind Transport did make their first delivery in 2024. And we see another ship made its first crossing in October 2025. This one is a hybrid wind-diesel ship, so it's not completely wind-powered.
Right. That's the word hybrid, meaning part of one thing and part of another. We have hybrid cars now that can run on both, on either gasoline or electric power. And this is the same for ships. In this case, the hybrid ship runs on both wind power and diesel power. Diesel, a type of fuel, a type of oil that is different from conventional gasoline.
Right. But of course, you can see diesel a lot when you go to the gas station. Mm. There's also an option to fill up with diesel, which is a bad idea if that's not what's supposed to be in your car.
Exactly. If for most people just driving cars, family cars, diesel fuel will not really be an advantage for you. The nature of the oil makes it more suitable for larger vehicles, vehicles that aren't starting and stopping so much like we do in city traffic and such, or ships for that matter, that are just going to start up and then go at a more or less steady speed for a long time, carrying a lot of weight. That is what diesel fuel is more helpful for.
All right, that's good to know. Well, Vela designed this ship to tackle one part of the global supply chain, and that is companies making high-end goods. So this isn't for just your average Amazon package, right?
Right. Well, not yet, anyway.
So it's for high-end goods, meaning kind of fancier or more expensive things. They give some examples here, like luxury cosmetics or pharmaceuticals. Now, first of all, cosmetics are kind of like beauty products.
Right.
You could think of makeup, things like that.
Yes, yes. And pharmaceuticals, of course, a huge long word that just means drugs. Drugs and medicines, the pharmaceutical industry. And so at this time in the development of these sail-powered, these wind-powered cargo ships, they're mainly useful for pharmaceuticals or luxury cosmetics because they are speedier and more stable and more reliable, as we'll find out, than big cargo ships.
Right. And so a lot of the companies that are shipping these things around and selling them are trying to find a way to decarbonize transportation. What do we mean there?
Right. Decarbonize basically means to reduce the amount of carbon gases, especially carbon dioxide, that are emitted by whatever you're doing. What you're doing in this case, the shipping companies, is they're transporting goods, so they are emitting carbon gases into the atmosphere. This is not news. We all know this. You know, by virtue of shipping these goods by their big cargo ships running on all that diesel fuel, it creates a lot of greenhouse gas emissions, which are also referred to as carbon emissions sometimes, and in this case they are. And so to decarbonize their transportation is to lower, you know, by whatever means, to lower the amount of carbon gases that they release in transportation.
Right. This is often where the conversation goes when talking about global warming and protecting the environment, is getting rid of those. We kind of simplify it by talking about carbon. Really, it's other molecules that involve carbon, like carbon dioxide, you said. That could also be carbon monoxide, or other hydrocarbons,
mm-hmm.
And so that's more toward things like gasoline and other fuels. And so all of those things are not great for the environment, and so a lot of these companies want to do their part to decarbonize. Well, for these companies, air freight can be one of the largest parts of their carbon footprint. I feel like there's been a lot of conversation around that in recent years,
mm-hmm.
especially mm-hmm. around tracking celebrities like personal jets.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen this.
I have not, but I can easily imagine it. Yes.
Right. So people are constantly tracking some of these big stars and complaining about it, seeing, wow, you are really contributing to these problems where the average person doesn't really.
Right. And just to be clear, that expression, following up on what we were saying about decarbonization, that expression carbon footprint, we're perhaps intuitively familiar with it at this point, but it basically means the carbon dioxide equivalent of all the greenhouse gases you release. So we're not just talking about carbon dioxide, rather it's being measured in terms of the equivalent amount of carbon dioxide, like, for example, methane. Methane is a gas that does not have carbon in its name, but it is a greenhouse gas that can be released by these big ships and other celebrity jets and such. And so that and all other kinds of gases are measured in terms of how much carbon dioxide that would equal. And that is why they call it the carbon footprint instead of the methane footprint or whatever gas footprint.
Right. And we say footprint because we're kind of talking about the total impact that you as an individual or maybe an organization has on the global accumulation of that carbon. Well, shifting to sea transportation, even a regular diesel-powered cargo ship would help, but that hasn't been an option because most cargo ships are unreliable. So a lot of these companies ship these things by plane. Of course, that's much faster than like a giant ship. And you're not as worried about some of those giant like shipping containers just falling off.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen any of those videos.
Again, I can imagine easily. Basically, they're the size of a Mack truck. Just big wave rocks the boat this way or that, and oops.
Yeah, in general, they tie them down pretty well. But you can see in some videos, sometimes just a couple of them will fall off, and you just see, think to yourself, that was my package that I ordered.
That's mine,
in that
right?
one yeah. container. I'm the one who got screwed. Typical cargo ships have long delays at ports. That is one of the issues here.
Right.
Of course, ports only have so much space,
yeah.
and so they have to kind of wait in the drive-through, so
yeah.
to speak,
yeah.
off the shore.
It's a good comparison, the drive-through at a takeout restaurant.
So traditional container shipping has been evolving for bigger and bigger ships to the extent that these ships are so big, they can only go to a few main harbors. Of course, maintaining a giant harbor is a big expense for a country, and there are only a few places they can have. Well, this was again from that co-founder who says that this is the bottleneck now of the shipping industry. There's a great word in there that we should talk about.
Yeah, bottleneck. I love that one. You think of the neck of a bottle of wine and how it's thinner than the rest of the bottle. And because it's thinner, when you transfer the wine from the bottle to a glass, that narrow neck helps you control the transfer of it so it doesn't just come rushing out and spill all over your glass. It's a good thing in that case, but a bottleneck when you're trying to, when you want the content to transfer quickly to its next source or whatnot, or its the customer, you don't want a bottleneck. You want it to be able to flow. You want those ships to come into the harbor and the goods to be unloaded and sent on to the customers or the retailers or whatnot. So a bottleneck there is not good, but that's what they're facing.
Right. So ultimately, a bottleneck is what is restricting something from happening. You think of what the bottlenecks are in your life that stop you from getting what you want to get done as quickly as you can. Maybe your bottleneck is just time. There are not enough hours in the day. And so we see that word bottleneck here. But ultimately, why can these cargo ships, this new one from Vela, kind of overcome this? It still has to go into those harbors. Well, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but for now, we're all out of time. Friends, my name is Garrett.
I'm Peter.
And we're saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.